Why do we sing? On this day, of all our days, why do we sing? Maybe it's because words alone are not enough. At times, words can help us to explain, but really, when we face death, unvarnished and unavoidable, accompanied by its siblings, suffering and sorrow, there are no explanations that hold, really. They may describe, but they do not explain. Words do help us remember, though. They help us to bring to life again the moments of light and joy, of gift and of goodness, of courage and of strength. Words can help us remember the rest of a life, not simply the end, however it arrives. Words help us to string together those vital moments, the witnesses to beauty, the gestures of compassion, the evidence of endurance. Words can also help us to proclaim. Words help us to proclaim a truth that otherwise goes unseen, unspoken, unknown. A truth that even in the throes of the shadows, that light shines. That even in the depths of grief, that love endures. That even in the midst of death, that life rises. Christopher Adam Putnam loved words. In fact, he loved words a lot, which is why I think he used a lot of them. And I recognize that love. I do too. He loved using words to tell people about the intricacies of liturgy, whether it was from up the block or from around the world. He loved using words to write about rarely recognized composers and the sermons of centuries-old divines. C.P. loved words. And he also knew that words carry us as finite beings, but that they can carry us only so far. And so I believe that this is why C.P. spent so much of his life, to the end, really, devoted to, enraptured by, consumed with music. I believe that's why Christopher Putnam joined the stream of Christians who have gifted us with song. Ephrem of Edessa, Hildegard of Bingen, Isaac Watts, Johann Sebastian Bach, Samuel Wesley, Betty Akers. That list could go on and on and on. As Christopher Putnam's love of music was broader and deeper than anyone I know. His knowledge and love spanned the globe and millennia, and included many people who are gathered right here today in this space. At times, C.P. spoke of music as a kind of a palette right? An artist's palette that holds many colors, and each tone is able to speak to a particular part of the human experience. And so this is why we are all here today. This is what we are here today to do, to play and to listen and to sing. To sing because we miss Christopher Putnam. To sing because we loved Christopher Putnam. To sing because we are finite. To sing because we are part of the infinite. To sing because we are. Christopher Putnam, or CP, or Mr. P, but rarely Chris. Who here called him Chris, by the way? I'm just curious. There we go, okay. Excellent, good, all right. He was given a gift in this life, a gift which he shared freely. Some of this gift, yes, was the ability to play a piece of music, just about any piece of music, whether on the organ, the piano, the shruti box, or the gut bucket. Yes, CP was a gifted musician on a ridiculous range of instruments, and from an early age. In fact, if you'll go to the end of our liturgy, near the back of our bulletin, you'll see a photo. Please do look now. I think that's the photo from his first gig as an organist. You can tell because he's got that look in his eye. But for me, the gift that he had received from God was clearest. This gift that CP had, well, I came to know it as a kind of a pitch-perfect sense of what piece of music could reveal a moment. Catch a liturgical moment and hold it up to the light. It was this gift that helped us here at All Souls remember that this meal we share around this table, like in Isaiah, is a feast. Christopher was well acquainted with the pain and the struggle of life. Pain we hear Paul write about today. He also knew of life's soaring joy. Because of this knowledge, and because of the gift that he had been given, Christopher Putnam was uncommon in the way that he could recognize Jesus's way and truth and life in sometimes some of the most unusual places. He often said that every year you might start the midnight mass on Christmas Eve with "O Come All Ye Faithful." But every year as you plan for that moment, you have to ask yourself, what's the best way to enter into that mystery this year, right now? In this place. And so it is for that reason that for many years on Maundy Thursday night, after we had washed feet here, celebrated the Eucharist here, after we had stripped the altar and all the sacred vessels from this space, and had taken the reserved sacrament and processed out these doors and down the sidewalk and into our chapel, to begin our collective vigil into Good Friday, in that darkened space lit only by candle, wreathed with greens and blooms, every year we have chanted Stay with me, remain here with me, watch and pray, watch and pray. You may be saying to yourself, sure, that is the right piece for that moment. But Taizé chant has been a widely used element of Christian liturgy for decades, and this is true. But this uncommon, pitch-perfect sense that Christopher had would say yes, and that may not be the case for a piece like Take Me Home, Lord, a piece that we will be singing later as we share in the Eucharistic feast around this altar. Now, you may not know this piece, and it comes from, well, an unlikely source. You see, several years ago, CP was really excited about a new piece of music for our celebration of All Souls and All Saints, which we will celebrate tomorrow. And we celebrate it on All Souls Sunday, or All Saints Sunday, as our feast of title. And that year, as we prepared for that Sunday, in the weeks leading up to it, there was a text in our liturgical documents that I was just not familiar with. And so I asked CP where it was from. And with a grin that was somewhat akin to the photo on the front of our bulletin, right? You know that CP grin with the arched eyebrow and the knowing grin? He said, are you familiar with the HBO show True Blood? Kind of. Isn't that the one with the vampires? Yep, I think you're going to like it. Okay. And he was right. Spot on. And that piece has served this congregation as an emotional, spiritual, visceral touchstone of the liminal space between the living and the dead. That was what Christopher Putnam was able to do. He helped us come closer to the way, the truth, and the life, but in ways that we might not have otherwise. Yes, he was trained as an organist in the classic Anglican tradition. He could lead a choir of professionals. He could play world-renowned and barely hanging in there organs to their fullest potential. Make no mistake, Christopher Putnam had his chops. And from his own being, he knew that there were many ways to come close to Jesus. He knew in his heart of hearts that music, whether it is put to poetry, what is poetry to song, or it has just got four voices or a few words sung in harmony until they sink in, or melodies that emerge from struck strings, CP knew that when we give ourselves to music, the non-essentials fall away and we give God our fullest attention. And that is prayer. This is the gift that Christopher Putnam gave to the people of All Souls, to Grace Cathedral, to All Saints Beverly Hills, to CDSP, to the Bishop's Ranch, and many, many more Christian bodies. For decades, Christopher Putnam helped us to pray. And through his music and his teaching, he will be doing so for decades to come. Friends, that is why we have come here today to join voices and hearts. Even at the grave, we don't make our argument. Even at the grave, we make our song. And that is just what Christopher Putnam did. And so shall we.